Welcome to Technology and Its Impact on Counseling Teens. Technology impacts how we counsel, how we disciple, and how we parent. Not only does it provide new means to counsel, disciple, and parent, but it also impacts our culture to a point where it can't be ignored. One of the general rules of thumb when counseling and working and discipling teens is to know their music. It's also important to know their friends. A third element, which is often harder to identify, is know their technology. Their technology today is how they access their music and how they communicate with their friends. Teenagers are among the most connected demographic today. It would be easy to drown you in statistics, and I don't want to do that, but I do want to communicate just how connected young people are. 56% say they're connected several times per day. 24% say almost constantly, that means every 5 minutes or so. 12% say once a day, 6% say weekly, and 2% say less than weekly. So what about social media use? 71% say they use more than one social networking website. 93% of teenagers are online. 71% of teens with home computer access say the laptop or desktop they use most often is the one shared with their friends, but typically they're using mobile devices. And you're not going to get a study that says 100% of teenagers are online. They're not going to do a study like that, but the numbers are fairly high. 78% of teenagers now own a cell phone. Those are all smartphones. Again, you're not going to get a 100% study. And remember, there's a difference between a smartphone and what we like to call a dumb phone. The smartphones can do all the things that we like to do, surf the internet, watch movies, browse our favorite networks, but they can also make phone calls. Dumb phones just make phone calls. Not a lot of young people just have phones that can just make a phone call. 90% of teenagers ages 8 through 16 have seen pornography on the internet, typically during homework time. This is important to note. The company you keep matters. Facebook has over 2.7 billion users. 2.7 billion users. That's over a third of the world's population on a single website, making Facebook a larger country ahead of China and India. It's obviously one of the most trafficked websites in the world. The fastest growing demographic on Facebook right now, 55 years and older. Kids are leaving Facebook because too many of their parents have figured it out. Do you know where they're going? You want to know what to invest in? Watch where the teenagers go. The teenagers are headed to Instagram and to Snapchat and to TikTok. Facebook also scores as the number one photo sharing application on the internet, with more than 40 million photos uploaded every day. Twitter has over 350 million users. And this gets to be kind of confusing. They all claim more users, but I'm talking about users based on active users, not the number of accounts that the social network has. Social media is the number one activity for all internet users worldwide. Odds are when someone's on their device, they're on social media more than it is that they're doing anything else. And it's important to define social media as not only the sites like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but also the content that is placed on those sites. There's also great debate on the impact of all this hyperconnectivity. Experts are split, with some saying it's good, 55% say it's a good thing, 42% say it's a bad thing. This becomes an even greater debate when you have all this hyperconnectivity, and then you have the trust factor of what can you trust of the content that's online. And then you have the editorial roles of the people running these social networks. So can you trust what's out there? And then what happens when the editors of those networks are determining what content is posted? The hyperconnectivity gets to be incredibly complex. The challenge is that most teens and young people know more about the internet, computers, tablets, cell phones, social media than anyone else. So you say that's all well and good, but this probably doesn't apply to my kids or the young people in my church. Well, CNN conducted a study called Being 13 about teenagers and social media. It's one of the only studies that dealt specifically with this issue, with not just what teens are doing online, but how their online activity impacts their daily lives. This was fascinating because no one had done anything like this before, and this was done by CNN, not exactly a moral compass. More than 200 eighth graders from across the country allowed their social media feeds to be studied by child development experts who had partnered with CNN. This large-scale study analyzed what kids actually say to each other on social media and why it matters so deeply to them. The study was conducted with eighth graders at eight different schools across six states, with Indiana being one of those states. Participating students, with the permission of their parents, allowed CNN to look through their Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook accounts through a secure network so that the study authors could analyze the data that had been collected. In 6 months, they then analyzed 150,000 teenage posts over a six-month period. I read the full study, and it's truly eye-opening. Right now, I just want to show you a video clip of how they explained the study and what some of the young people and their parents said. Beware, though, there are some inappropriate words in this video that have been blanked out.
I want to tell you about a project we've been working on for the last 2 years. It's called Being 13 Inside the Secret World of Teens. There's a lot of opinion about what it's like being a teenager today, about growing up, and what the effect of these mobile devices and social media is on teenagers, but there hasn't been a lot of research. So we teamed up with two professors to track 200 teenagers, eighth graders in different schools across the country, to find out how they use social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. What we found was startling. Middle school has always been a time where fitting in or being cool has been important, but what I didn't realize is how social media has really affected that. It's like an instant barometer of popularity. Every like, every tweet, every picture that's posted on Instagram can be judged and used to see where you are in the social hierarchy. It's really eye-opening in our study just to see how engaged teenagers are with social media. Some of the teens we followed in the study check social media more than 100 times a day, not even posting, but just checking to see what their friends are up to see how many likes some pictures they previously posted have gotten.
I think I've checked it about 100 times at school before. Like, I'll just whip it out in the middle of class and I'm like, wonder what everybody else is up to.
The experts call it lurking, and the study found a correlation between lurking and levels of stress among the teenagers. It's really exhausting to when you get a sense of just how stressful it can be for teens to constantly be aware of where they are in the social hierarchy. For a lot of these eighth graders, their social media life is 24/7. At times, I had to keep reminding myself these teens are only 13 years old.
What they do is they post naked pictures and nudes of the person. It's either like an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend, and they're sharing this stuff.
There's a lot of stuff we couldn't even put on television. There's profanity, there's sexting, there's talk about drugs, and bullying, and very subtle forms of bullying. It's done so strategically, and it's so painful, many parents might not even realize it's going on. A lot of the parents that we talked to in this study said they feel like they're dealing with a runaway train and they don't really know all the intricacies of social media. They're not even sure exactly what to look for. So we hope to empower parents and educators with clues about what is really going on in the lives, the secret lives of teenagers.
This is serious stuff, but I'm not here to scare you. I love social media, but I'm also an adult. I'm no longer 13. When I was 13, we were still trying to figure out our Ataris. But I don't check my social media 100 times per day. I've never allowed a compromising photo of myself to be taken. I don't argue with people online. And I'm not a lurker. But these are all things that teens are doing. Check out these reasons for lurking, the top three. I'm bored. If the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't have anything to help teenagers not be bored, I think we're missing a golden opportunity to serve. Number two, I want to connect with my friends. And then, as they mentioned, I want to see if my posts are getting likes and comments. I want to judge my popularity barometer based on what's happening online. Listen to what some of the teens in the study said. I would rather not eat for a week than get my phone taken away. It's really bad. I literally feel like I'm going to die. When I get my phone taken away, I feel kind of naked, said another 13-year-old. I do feel kind of empty without my phone. I have the opposite problem. I have separation connection. I don't want to be near my phone. I try to get it as far away from me as I can. I throw it in the ocean when I go on vacation, and the waves bring it back to me. But young people have this connection. That separation makes them feel very anxious, which impacts a lot of the activities and things they do in their daily lives. So why are teens so anxious? The study found it's largely due to their need to monitor their own popularity status, but not just monitor it, defend themselves against those who challenge it. 61% said they wanted to see if their online posts were getting likes and comments. 36% said they wanted to see if their friends are doing things without them. That's the modern equivalent of having the party and not inviting them, except instead of finding out when you go to school on Monday, you find out while the party's in process because you're seeing the posts from the party as it happens. 21% said they wanted to make sure no one was saying mean things about them. The teenager approach to social media seems to be If they're talking about me, I'm going to talk about them. And they're sharing stuff that is supposed to be kept private. Teens aren't mature enough to handle that and know the difference about what should be private.